Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode at the Warehouse Underground podcast. I'm Ben. I'll be the host of the show today, and joining me is Jody Phillips of Tryon Solutions. Now, warehouse management systems. I post about this a lot on LinkedIn if you follow me there. The very first podcast I did was about them. Very, very, very critical for you as an ops leader in this industry to have a very strong one. But how do you know that? How do you know if you're getting the most out of it? How do you know if there's someone that can go in and help you tweak it? Like, there's a lot of unknown. You just go to the vendor, you don't know. And so that's why I'm very happy to have Jody on the show today, because he's with Tryon Solutions. They are in this space. They're not necessarily a provider of WMS, but they can be someone in your corner, an advocate for you to really help you navigate those waters. And so it should be a great show. And with that, I'll go ahead and bring him on.
Hi, Ben.
Jody, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on. And how are you, my friend?
Good, good. Good to talk to you. Excited about the conversation. You know, as is our normal conversation with folks that we talk to, very excited about it. We understand, as you mentioned, the importance of WMS and finding the right solution for you and making sure that it's custom fit for your specific operation. So there's a lot of things behind that one statement there. So we got some good stuff to talk about.
Absolutely. It's key. All right. So tell the audience just a little bit about, you know, your background, how you got to the point where you are today with Tryon Solutions, and what the company's all about.
I started working with Tryon Solutions about 7 years ago, and Tryon Solutions is in itself a consulting house, but we do a lot more than that. A good bit of our business is project work. It's we're helping our clients, A, identify the right WMS, B, be able to implement that. And then there's a lot, along with any other software that you buy, there's going to be upgrades that are needed to be done. Mm. And when you're upgrading a system for a DC or a manufacturing plant or multiple of both of those, there's a lot of planning that has to take place. So that's, you know, a big part of what Tryon does is that type of work, helping people to implement, to upgrade, and maintain their warehouse management systems.
I got you. Now, do you? There are lots of different types of facilities out there. I mean, you have the big box, big fulfillment centers that are very fast and very automated and very big, and sometimes sites are across the country. And then you have your more traditional kind of like mid-market, maybe they have a warehouse or two type thing, but where's your sweet spot at Tryon? I mean, are you more comfortable? Do you service that big type publicly traded company, or are you happier in the mid market?
We actually are servicing both. We have some very large multinational clients, and we have some that only have one or two DCs. A lot of it depends specifically, specifically around the software that you're looking at. We don't service and we don't work with every single WMS vendor in the world, but we have some specific ones that we support. A good bit of our work, as I mentioned, is project work, but we also have ongoing managed services. We'll talk a little bit more about those later, but that would be us acting as your customer support for your specific WMS vendor. That way, you're getting a much quicker response from us. We can handle most of the issues that you have. If we have to engage them, we're working directly with them, as well as doing automated testing to make sure anything that goes into your production environments are going to be clean and not adversely affect you. So there's a good bit of things that from a Tryon perspective that we do, and some of those apply to whether it's a one DC operation or maybe 100. But we work with both, and I think that from that perspective, we're fairly open, you know, as far as, you know, working with clients. It doesn't, we're not going to think that someone is too small to work with us or that we're too small to work with them, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah. I mean, I think too, and like the size of the facility, it's all about what's happening inside the software, right? Like what's happening inside the software with the transactions, with the SKUs, with the picking, with the packing. And so the physical size of the facility doesn't always correlate with that. Like you could have a small facility that has very small SKUs and many transactions that are happening, and then that WMS might be way more elaborate than just the big bulky facility that has a lot of big stuff in there. I don't think it would really matter.
No, absolutely. The size of the facility from a systems perspective, I mean, of course, you have to take that into account with server size and, you know, horsepower and all that kind of fun stuff. But really, it has to do more with the complexity of the operation. You know, how complex is what you're doing? A lot of places are literally just receive it, store it, ship it. And that's good. Yeah. And that can help dictate maybe you don't have to find the most advanced WMS on the market. You can get by with one that is one that fits your needs. You know, we always laugh. You don't have to deliver pizzas in a Ferrari. If you're delivering pizzas, you can do it in a Pinto. That's fine, and that's all you need. But there are going to be some situations where you do need more of that complexity. And a lot of times that's more driven by the corporation or the company itself than by the size of the operation.
Yeah, and I think too there's a progression that happens. So you may start out and with a WMS and you're small and you only need it for a couple of basic things. But as your operation gets bigger and then you want to try to do more and more things like, oh, well, we want to do slotting now. And now we want to do zone picking. And now we want to do pick to light and all these cool things that we've heard about. Well, you need to make sure that your WMS can do that. It can keep up with that. But at the same time, if you're a basic blocking and tackling operation, like you said, you don't need to even worry about slotting and all those things. You've only got like six people working in your warehouse. It's not going to make that big of a difference. So
yeah, and a lot of that also affects the kind of the accessorial systems as well that you and I have mentioned, transportation management, labor management. Yeah. All of those things are going to be driven by, again, by complexity and size. You know, if you're only shipping out two truckloads a day, you probably do that on a piece of paper. But if you're moving, you know, high volumes, especially a parcel, especially of LTL and truckload, you know, those types of things, you're going to need those other systems that integrate with WMS and with your ERP. That's what you know, kind of our job is to help you A, select the right one, B, to understand that, yes, I do need this, or maybe this is on my 5-year plan. You know, I can start budgeting now for do I need labor management? If I've got 20 people in the DC, probably not. If I've got 200, that's when I need to start thinking about it. So, you know, a lot of those types of things, to your point, are part of your roadmap. You know, not only for the operations, but for the company as a whole. You know, where do you plan on being as a company in 5 years or 10 years, and let's make sure that your operations and your systems are there to support that successfully.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. I mean, I've gone through a couple of WMS implementations in my career, and I am close with other people that have as well, and sometimes it went well, and then other times it just did not. Like they were not happy with the service that they were getting from their vendor. They felt like they weren't being responsive enough to their needs in a timely manner and that type of thing. So how much of your business and how much of your customers are what I call like 911? 911, help us. We have this. We're in over our head. Like we need help. We're not getting it. And then how much of your business would you say is coming from people that are proactively ahead of time trying to get ahead of it? Because that 911 piece of it, I think is starting to emerge, because you sort of just get stovepiped into one provider, one vendor. And if you're not getting it from them, you're kind of out of options there. So where does try and fall on that spectrum?
I would say that is definitely a part of our business. That's, you know, where someone has, you know, is using one of the providers that we work with, Blue Yonder or Kerber or Softeon, those types of folks. And they come to us and they say, you know, guys, we've got a challenge here. We need help and you know, our operations are affected. And we get those calls. A good bit of our business is ongoing, helping not only from a new implementation and upgrades, but the ongoing business, keeping the systems and the operation healthy. But the 911 stuff, a good bit of what we do with our clients is, again, I mentioned we act as customer care, customer support for our clients. So they call us, and that's many times where that 911 comes from. Yeah. And again, you know, if they're looking, let's say, from Blue Yonder perspective, we do Blue Yonder support for a lot of our large customers as part of our managed services. And what those folks, the feedback we get from our clients that we work with those is that they get faster feedback, and they're getting feedback from people who know their business, who know their systems, because we help them implement it, we help them upgrade it, and we understand some of the modifications or customizations that they've done to that system to fit their business. If you're going to Blue Yonder or you're going to Kerber or Softeon, you know, you're probably talking to someone who may or may not understand maybe some of the intricate details of their specific implementation. So, you know, from that perspective, we do like that. And to be honest, we have great relationships with our partners like Blue Yonder and Kerber and Softeon, those folks. excuse me. They like us because we help them solve problems as well. We have, you know, we actually do staff augmentation work with some of those folks as well, where they use our folks on projects where they're needing a little specific expertise, whether it's on a specific customer or a specific product.
Now, what about customizations, though? I mean, because a lot of users, I think, like when they first start using the WMS, it's just like basic. Oh, we want to learn how it does this and it does this, and we're happy with it. But it's just like anything else, I think. The more that they go and the more that they become comfortable with the basics, the more that they want to explore, hey, I would think it would be cool if it could do this or that. Is that something that customers come to you and say, hey, can you put in this type of customization? Or does that have to go to the original vendor who is in there with the code? You know, how do customizations work out?
I'll start out answering that by saying that most providers, Blue Yonder, Manhattan, all those folks, they don't want to do customizations. What they want to do is for you to use their base product. And those larger providers have a tremendous breadth of functionality. It's probably that customization you're looking for is probably already in their base code. You may not be using it. You may not have fired it up yet. So customizations are things that a lot of folks just don't want to do. But what we can do is configure your specific system to do what you need. Okay. So, you know, we're not going out and touching base code. That they don't let us do that. They don't let anybody do that. They don't even like to do it themselves because it's such a, you know, it's high risk when you're doing that. And that's why they're only doing major upgrades, most of these folks, once a year. You know, it's risky. But to do configurations, there are ways that, you know, we can say, okay, and this is part, we've got part of our, part of Trion Solutions is called advisory services. They're really functional operational consultants. So they can say, tell me what problem you're trying to solve. And that's really the way that we try to go after it. Tell me what problem you're trying to solve. It may not have anything to do with, you know, changing code or doing a configuration. Are you married to this process? Maybe this process could change slightly and you could accomplish what you're looking for. It wouldn't, you know, maybe wouldn't negatively affect, maybe positively affect your operation. But then again, there's way that we can go in and configure these systems that can probably accomplish what you need without, you know, it's modifications and customizations have just kind of become a dirty word. And, you know, when you're talking about especially with these larger providers, because they've been burned before. You know, when you get it's and from a long-term perspective, if you own your system and you're a big corporation or even a small company, that small to mid-sized company, and you've invested in that, you want to keep that. You want to keep earning from that investment. You want it to keep saving you money in your operation. And so you don't want to have to change every time you go back and, add a new line of business or maybe start doing e-commerce or, things like that. But being able to really, for us to be able to step in and say, let's figure out the best way to handle this. Is it operationally? Is it a configuration of your current system or maybe a combination of both? But yeah, it's, those are the types of things that we really do excel in. And as I mentioned, I think in our conversation a little before, a lot of that is coming from the automation side, robotics and things like that, where people are saying, can my system handle, an AMR? Can my system currently as it sits, handle an ASRS? And, all of these types of automation that are out there. And the answer is probably yes. But, where we come in and where we really excel is us and a lot of folks in our industry is we're able to integrate those things with the systems that they need to be integrated with, whether it's ERP, labor, WMS, TMS, those types of things. So it's, usually there's a way to get what you want. It may not be the way you have in mind, but if you're end goal oriented, we can help you find the right solution.
Yeah, I had a provider that was on site one time with one of my employees that was complaining, and they wanted a lot of customization, and they just wanted it to do something different. And so the provider came in and showed us like the actual code, the hard code, and I mean, it just blew our minds. Like, it looked like the Matrix. And they were explaining to us the risk of that, and like, we got it once we saw it, and they did exactly what you described there. Well, what are you hoping to get? Like, what is your problem? And I can solve your problem in another way without, having to go in and touch this gnarly code. So I think that was pretty effective.
And when you think about it, I think from my perspective, in my 25 years of doing this, the two most complex systems that you're going to be using from a supply chain perspective, and maybe in your corporation, are going to be your ERP and your WMS. Yeah. Because those two things have such a wide variety of functions that they have to be successful at, the closer you can stay to base code and the fewer modifications or configurations that you change, it de-risks the business, right? And that's a term that everybody likes to throw around, but they say that, and then they say, but we need it to do this. Well, let's find a way for it to do that without compromising your operation.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. I mean, when you get these calls, let's say it's exploratory or it's a 911 call type thing, do you need to be there? I mean, do you need to be on site, or can you do this type thing remote? Like, how does that work?
All of the above. And as I mentioned, there are some things that we do that probably dictate us being on site. If we're looking at an operation and we're trying to help you become more efficient, we do what we call an operational health check. Let us come in. We'll spend 2 days walking through your DC. We'll talk to you. We'll talk to your operations managers, to your leads, to your forklift drivers, to the guys on the dock. We'll push through all of that and looking at the physical operations, and then we go into your system to see if they actually match the systematic operations. Because, I mentioned this earlier, you can't human proof any systems. There's going to be a way that somebody's going to find a way to get around, all the controls you think you have. So those types of projects, we're all going to be on site. But the vast majority of the work that we do for support, for maintenance, things of that nature, we're really working remotely. We're headquartered in Raleigh, North Carolina, but a fraction of the folks that work for Trion are in Raleigh. We've got an office in Hyderabad, India as well. And so, of course, all of their work for most of our clients, both here and in Europe and APAC, are going to be remote. But there are some things that do require us to be on site. Usually the ones you're talking about, like that 911 call where I'm shut down. You know, I can't close this trailer, and it's got my entire shipping dock is at a standstill. Yeah. Those things we're going to handle remotely. Nobody needs to be on site for that. But, you know, there are some of the things that we do that are more operational, physical, functional leaning that we do in person.
I got you. Now, what about your staff? I mean, we've kind of talked about what you do, but like, where does your team come from? I mean, are you hiring former people that were insiders at these WMS providers? Does that not matter? Like, how do you build your staff, and where does the expertise come from that allows you to operate this way?
We have an interesting approach to that. To answer your first question, yes, a lot of people that work for us have previously worked for our partners, Blue Yonder or Kerber or whomever. So yeah, we, you know, and a lot of that is I think normal for our industry. One of the things that we do differently at Trion is we have something called Trion University, and probably twice a year we will bring in, I don't know, 4 to 10 people freshly graduated from college, you know, from normally somewhere around the Raleigh area, UNC, NC State, you know, that they've got a computer science degree or some sort of technical degree. We bring them in, and for the first 4 months they work for Trion, they don't do any work. All they're doing is being trained. So we'll train them so they can be a Blue Yonder certified software engineer, or we'll put them through PMO training, or we'll, you know, all of the different things that we're doing, we're bringing those folks in. And from our perspective, you know, you look at me, I'm an old guy, and that's about half of what you see in the industry now.
No.
Bunch of old guys, you know, wandering around. It's what we want to do is bring in some new folks, and they're very exciting. They're very smart. And you know, it gives us the ability to say, hey, I've got someone, and we've talked with some large corporations in the past, and they've been very excited about that because they do internship programs, and that's somewhat like it is, but these people are becoming employees. So, you know, we'll bring them in, get them certified, get them into a position. And, you know, instead of charging a full rate for them, we'll give them a discounted rate and say, hey, this guy's going to do a lot of your legwork. He's going to save us money on the project. But understand that, you know, if you come and ask him a question, he may have to tell you he's going to have to go find you an answer because, you know, he graduated college 6 months ago. So, you know, but those types of things, I think, kind of set us apart a little bit because, A, we want to bring more new and young people into the industry, and B, it gives us the ability to start to build out, you know, what Trion Solutions does. Some of the good ideas that we've had recently as far as services and, you know, really being able to put folks on the ground if need be, you know, at a DC and work closely with our clients, you know, it comes from us having that, you know, that bench of people that is, you know, young and active and ready to go. You know, it's really been kind of neat.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, to your point, a lot of our folks have come from our, you know, come from at some point in the past, have worked for the provider that our partner that we're working with.
Yeah. And I think, like, when you bring in the young folks like that, I think it's good because they don't have any, I don't want to say bad habits, right? But they don't have any preconceived notion. They don't have any, hey, it's always been done this way. They're really coming in with a fresh set of eyes.
Absolutely.
And this is valuable in the distribution industry too, right? You have new managers, and it's not necessarily that I think people mean to do this as they get older, but they just kind of start to get stuck in a way that's worked for them. And it's harder to come out of that. So I think that's definitely a good thing to bring in the new, fresh perspectives and fresh viewpoints, because they're the ones that can think differently and think outside the box and offer a solution that maybe a 20-year vet is just not going to be able to offer because they just don't think that way anymore.
I agree. And it's been really successful for us. You know, it's really, again, I think when we first started, not sure how it was going to work. And, you know, you also think, are we just training people to go work for other people? Well, most of the folks that, no. that have gone through this process with us have stayed with us. They're still with us. So it's neat to build that camaraderie and that, you know, that company feeling that, you know, they're part of something pretty special in our industry for sure.
Yeah. Now let me ask you this question. I think you sort of already alluded to this earlier. But when it comes to like the vendors, like the Blue Yonder or a Corber or whatever, you said that they have a good relationship with you, right? So my question was going to be like, do they not like this? You know, do they not like a third party that is coming in and double checking their work and advising their clients and that type of thing? But it sounds like, according to what you're saying, it's not going to fray that relationship at all. Like everything should be good. In fact, the vendor is going to be happy with us. But is that always true? I mean, can it get dicey sometimes when somebody else is in there?
All of these folks have their own delivery services. So they have people that do exactly what we do. They have people that will go in and do, discovery to understand exactly what type of system you're looking for, what your requirements are, you know, what your volume is, how many people you have, what are your people doing, you know, so they've got that. And then they've got people that can do the implementation and do the support. So we're just a duplicate of what they're doing. A lot of what we do, and we work with their delivery services. We have folks on our team that work with their delivery services, you know. But a lot of it comes from let's take maybe Blue Yonder, for example. They really are looking for new logos, right? They want to bring in new logos. They want to bring in, new customers. And that's really where their focus is from a sales perspective, and it takes up a lot of their delivery horsepower. And so they're okay. You know, we work with their sales organization. You know, if a sales organization says, look, I'm under the gun here. You know, this client wants to do this implementation, new implementation in one of their DCs in 6 weeks or 8 weeks, and I'm not able to do that with our team. Can you guys help us? Those types of things. But then there's also times where, like, again, where we just partner with them. And so, you know, we also are a reseller of their software. So there's a lot of times where we go out and someone comes to us and says, hey, I'm thinking about buying Blue Yonder software. Can you show it to me? Can you tell me what it does? We do demos for them, you know, and they see it and they like it. So we sell them the software and we do the implementation. Sometimes they'll just go and use Blue Yonder support. Sometimes they use our support. So, you know, I think it's more of a symbiotic relationship than a parasitic one. You know, I think that we both benefit from it at times. And there are probably some times where we suffer a little and they suffer a little. But I don't think that, you know, there is a little bit of a, you know, some years we're doing a lot more work for them. Some years they do more work themselves. But I think that, you know, again, most of these, all of the big ones that we work with, they have partner alliance organizations, big organizations that are built just to work with partners like us. So, you know, it's really not something where they're, you know, we're not competing head to head with them. Yeah. It's not a lot of friction. You know, at times there's, you know, we find out we're talking to a customer or a potential customer, and they're like, oh, we were also talking to so and so of Blue Yonder. Like, oh, okay, let me call him. You know, and so it may end up that I call that sales guy. He's talking to him, and he goes, yeah, we would love to use you guys for delivery services because of the timeline and what's involved. Or it could be that, our delivery is already involved. So, you know, we can step away at that point. So there is some, you know, a little bit of competition there, but for the most part, it's a good relationship. And again, Triune Solutions has been around since 2009. And to answer your question here, and the last question, the three people who originally founded Triune Solutions all came from Red Prairie, who was, you know, before JDA became Blue Yonder. So, you know, that was kind of a long answer to your question. Yeah, there is a little bit of competition, but a lot of what we do is working hand in hand with them to make sure that the customer's happy, because if the customer's not happy, they don't get the business, we don't get the business, nobody does.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a win-win situation to me. I mean, for everybody involved, and that's just the way that it goes. If they really care about their customers, and Tryon Solution can offer them a better solution for whatever reason, like we don't have the bandwidth right now, or we're then I think that they should do that. I would respect that if the company did that.
And a lot now, open conversation between the two companies, so we're good.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you've mentioned a couple of different WMS providers, so Körber, Blue Yonder, but is that it? Like, what are you tied down to a finite number, or can you pick it up as you go if it's something that you haven't worked with before?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we do we work with Blue Yonder. Obviously, that's, you know, has always been the provider that we work with. Also work with Körber. You know, and they're in process of rebranding now, so that's a pretty exciting opportunity. Work with Softeon, and also work with like Lajua, EVS. You know, some of those probably mid to top tier markets. What we want to do is be able to provide our customers with whatever solution matches their needs. And, right. You know, if you're talking about somebody who's a mid-sized company, you know, that has two DCs or, you know, maybe 20 or 30, 40 people working in those DCs in each one, they're not going to probably want to you know, cash in on Blue Yonder. To the point you made earlier, though, they may grow into that. They may get to a point where they say, you know what? You know, we're about to open 5 more DCs. Yeah, we're going to need something like that. But we're going to find them the right solution to match their needs, not just for today, but for, you know, 1-3-5-year plan. Let's figure out where we are, put it on a roadmap. And you know, again, there's budget concerns that everybody has. But we want to make sure that our clients are not overpaying for what they don't need, but just the opposite, not getting a system that's not going to meet all their requirements, because either of those situations, you know, is bad for us and bad for the provider.
Yeah. Now, do you just stop at WMS, or do you kind of expand into labor management systems and transportation management systems too? Because they work hand in hand. I mean, they're very closely connected with the WMS. So what about those?
From a Tryon perspective, we have some labor management expertise, transportation management. A lot of what we're doing with either LMS or TMS is going to be integrating a WMS into that. But if there's specific work that needs to be done, or if someone's looking to implement, a lot of what we'll do from a Tryon perspective is we have partners that are specialists for labor management, specialists for transportation. Labor management, we can do basics for labor management. And the way we think about labor is crawl, walk, run. You know, crawling is really just, you know, getting some reporting. Walking is where you're looking at some reasonable expectation of what a person should be doing. But then you talk about engineered standards. That's a little bit out of our wheelhouse, but we have very close partners that we'll bring in, work on our projects. You know, it's still a Tryon project. They're working as part of our team. Same thing with TMS. You know, there's just some expertise that, you know, that the challenge really is there are so many different labor management systems and transportation management systems that we as a company don't want to try to hire someone that's an expert. You know, one person an expert in Mercury Gate, one person who's an expert in PowerShip, one person who's, you know, so we leverage our partner alliance for that to make, you know, that makes both financial and functional sense, because, you know, we don't want to be you know, the part of a project that is going to slow anything down or be a weak point. So we're going to bring in the strongest partners that we have and allow them to help us be successful for our clients.
I got you. Now, I mean, where can people go to find out more about you? I mean, how do they contact you if they are interested in working with you? I mean, are you out there on the trade show type thing? And what does it look like for 2025 and beyond for Trion?
Yeah, this time of year, you know, this is when a lot of the trade shows are happening. ProMat is coming up, of course. We'll be there. You know, we go to all of our partners users conference, whether it be Kerber, who, like I said, is rebranding now. Blue Yonder's got their user conference coming up. A lot of these things are happening. So we'll quite often have booths at some of these larger events. Of course, website, you know, trionsolutions.com, easy to find us. But we're also pretty active on LinkedIn. You know, a lot of, in the past, as a smaller company in the past, Trion, we didn't spend a tremendous amount of money and effort on marketing. But over the last probably, I'd say 6 to 8 years, that's been more of a focus. We have a business development group, we have a marketing group, and they're working closely together for us and have really expanded kind of our footprint, our digital footprint, that's allowed us to be more, you know, we're getting a lot more opportunities from our digital presence than we did in the past. A lot more traffic on our website, and they've been pretty creative on getting some things, you know, moving from a trade show perspective. So absolutely, you know, you can find me on LinkedIn, of course, but you can follow Trion Solutions on LinkedIn. And, of course, our website has lots of information. Not only about all of our WMS work, we mentioned TMS and LMS. Yeah. We do one of our big focuses within our own projects, but also that we sell as a separate managed service is automated testing. And so that's something that I have is near and dear to my heart. I was in operations, like I said, for about 12 years. And I remember sitting, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday trying to do, you know, testing to make sure that the update we were going to do for our WMS was not going to break operations.
It's making my eye twitch, Jody.
I know. I'm telling you. And I literally, that's, I mean, I can share so many terrible stories of, you know, bringing in 100 people to do a volume test, and yeah, 5 minutes into the test, it breaks and everybody has to go home. But, you know, we're paying everybody for 4 hours and they get free pizza. So, you know, it's just the fact that there are opportunities for automated testing that can greatly, greatly reduce the risk of putting something into production that can have an unforeseen impact is, I just don't know why anyone would not do it. It makes so much sense to me from my operational experience and seeing, you know, seeing other things, whether I was involved or from afar, where people, you know, implemented a new system or put in an upgrade, and, you know, you don't ship anything for a week. You know, that's how people are on the job market when that happens. So it's
yes, little, I know.
It's a little scary. Cool. Yeah, we certainly have lots of that information on our website.
Good deal. Well, Jody, man, thank you very much for coming on to the podcast. I appreciate it. Lots of good discussion, and maybe come again in the future. Yeah.
Absolutely. Would love to. Good talking to you. And we look forward to maybe we'll run into you at a trade show somewhere. Come find us.
I hope so. All right. We'll take care, my friend. I'll see you next time.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
All right. All right, guys. That concludes today's show. Thank you again for Trion Solutions for coming in. It's a very good resource for you to reach out to in that WMS space. They can help you in a lot of ways. So like always, if you have not signed up for the Warehouse Underground message board, please do that. Please be a part of that community. And with that, I will see you next time at the next podcast.